joyful we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melts the clouds of sin and sadness.
Thank you for joining us for this program from the Ninth Avenue Church of Christ in Hayleville, Alabama. We hope that you will subscribe and will share our program with others. Now, we take you to the service of the Ninth Avenue Church of Christ.
Let's pray together, and then we're going to get into our lesson. God, we thank you so much for the time that we have together today. We thank you for the life of your Son. We thank you for the challenging kind of spiritual growth moments that he creates for us, that when we are focused in the wrong direction, the way he's able to come in and help us refocus and help us redirect, as we're going to see from our passage today. We thank you for the ability to redirect in our life. And God, just help us. Help us to quit looking at all of the challenging things and to constantly look at Jesus and be reminded that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Let us always remember that about him. Be with us as we study this morning. Open our hearts, open our spirit, God. Allow your spirit to move within us and convict us of things that might need to change in our life. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, well, we're jumping back into our series of questions Jesus asked. And really, we're kind of in between a couple of things. And I've kind of thought that, I really thought that I would finish this up in one long series. But some other things kind of came up and had to make some changes to the sermon schedule. And these particular sermons may just be sermons that we kind of come back to throughout the year. So you'll be familiar with the idea and the concept. But kind of to remind you, we're looking at passages that involve questions that Jesus asked other people. And a lot of times those are kind of like, those are just regrounding questions. They're questions to get people to quit focusing in one direction and get them to focus in another. And most of the time, that focus is quit focusing away from me and refocus on me. And that's the same that we get in this particular text from John chapter 20 this morning, as John looks at Mary while she's at the tomb, and he goes, "Why are you crying?" So that's what we're going to look at this morning as we get into this. So let's start. We're going to work through it together, make some observations as we go, and wrap it up with a thought together. So John chapter 20, starting in verse 1 and 2. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, which would have been John, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So if you look at some of the other stories from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so you've had Jesus has died, right? Jesus has died on the cross, and because the Sabbath day is quickly approaching, they take Jesus from the cross, and they go through a very rushed burial moment with him and bury him in the tomb. Of course, there is this fear from the Jewish leaders that someone's going to come and steal his body, and then they'll be able to claim that he's been risen from the dead. So they have sealed it. They have sealed it. The Roman military has sealed this tomb, basically, and they've got guards standing out there. And of course, for those of you that know the story, does that stop anything? No, nothing. Does not stop a thing. And so after Sabbath is over, says early on the first day of the week, these ladies are coming back to the tomb in an effort to kind of continue the traditional burial process with Jesus. They're trying to give their friend, their teacher, they're trying to give him the proper respect in that moment that he, or that they felt, that he deserved. And of course, it seems in the story that Mary is the first one to arrive. And when she arrives, of course, what's the first thing that she sees? This stone has been rolled away. And her very first thought, despite all the time that she has spent with Jesus, despite all the things that she has heard Jesus say, Jesus has shared with them over and over that they're going to kill me and they're going to bury me. But what does he keep saying? But I'm going to what? I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm not going to stay there. This is not going to keep me down. But her first thought is that they have taken Jesus. And what does Mary do? Mary runs back to Simon Peter's house, where some of the other disciples are staying, And she lets them know, look, the Lord is gone. He's not in the tomb anymore. We have no idea where they have put him. Now, so something I want you to understand about Mary, and Mary is a really cool character in this particular story, because Mary never sits still in this story. If you look at the actions around Mary, Mary is constantly doing something in this story. She's showing up places, she's running places, she's delivering messages to people. And what she doesn't realize, and this is so beautiful to me, because sometimes we don't realize the good that we can do. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing, but we're trying to serve him the best we can. And this is where I think she is. She doesn't understand what's going on. She's just trying to express the best she can. She says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. But what's she actually sharing? What is she actually sharing for the very first time? What message is she really delivering that she doesn't realize? Jesus has what? He's risen. She doesn't realize that's what she's saying, but she's the first person that testifies, that shares, that tells that Jesus has done exactly what he said he was going to do. But she's so emotional. She's so worked up. She's so grounded in her grief. We're going to talk more about that as we get further into this lesson. But she's so grounded in her grief that all she can think of is they've taken him. And we have no idea where he is. We have no idea what we need to do. We have no idea where to find him. All she knows is that her teacher, her friend, is gone, and she wants to find him. Now, as we continue through this story, though, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves this question. If I can get the next slide to come up. Who is Jesus to you? As we look at the main three characters in this story, the main three characters that are going to be mentioned are going to be Mary and Peter and John. And as we think about their life and we think about their interactions with Jesus, these three individuals, they had a great relationship with Jesus. To Mary interacts with Jesus for the first time in the kind of idea of a healer. He heals her of her demonic possession. Peter and John are his apostles. They're some of the closest friends that Jesus has. John's even referred to, even in this text, as the one that Jesus loved. There was a brotherly bond between these two in a very, very powerful way. And the reason that Mary runs back and shares this news, the reason that Mary runs back and essentially tells everybody Jesus has been raised from the dead, even though she doesn't realize that that's what she's sharing, the reason she's so emotional about it is because of her relationship with Jesus. And this morning, it's so important for you to figure out, who is Jesus to me? Is he my Savior yet? If not, he needs to be. He needs to be the one that has saved you from your sins. You need to give your life to him in that way through the process of baptism, to have your sins washed away and allow his Spirit to dwell in you. But he very well may be your healer. He is your teacher. He is your Savior. There's all these different titles that he may have, but you have to have this personal connection with Jesus for these moments to be meaningful. And so as we go through this story, that's what we're going to see, that those who had the personal connection, those who had that relationship, those who knew who Jesus was to them in a very intimate way, they have great reactions to what's happened, and then they go on and share that with other people. If we don't have that intimacy with Jesus, we're not going to share Jesus with other people because he's not that important to us. If it's just about going to church to you, then you're not going to share Jesus, because going to church, It's got to be more than that. It's got to be about this intimate personal relationship. And we see this through the text that when you have that intimate, close relationship, you share the story. And so that I want you to think about that as we move through the story. Let's go on to the next kind of section of verses, starting in verse 3. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So Peter and John, they're taking off in a foot race like brothers. Who can get there first? John gets there first, and he kind of waits and he stands there. It says he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So he gets to the tomb first, and he just kind of peeks in. Not really sure. I don't know why he doesn't go in. He may be a little nervous. He may be waiting on Peter. But as he gets there, he kind of looks in and kind of trying to assess the situation. And he sees that all of the linen strips are laying there, but Jesus is not wrapped up in them. So he can see that he's gone. I love this about Peter. This is so Peter. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. No slowing down, no passing go, none of just straight in. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and, what's that next word? He saw and believed. What did he believe? He believed that Jesus had been risen. He believed that Jesus had been risen from the dead. It says that they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then it says, then the disciples went back to where they were staying. But these two guys, they rush, they get there, they've got to see firsthand, is she telling the truth? Is he really gone? And when they get there, it says that they believe. And then I think maybe one of the most underrated verses in the story, verse 10, it just says that after they saw this, they went home. They just went back home. But then we get back to really the main character of the story. Then we get back to verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb. Let's just acknowledge what she's really going through at the moment. In this moment, where is she? She's anchored to her grief. That's what she's standing in. She's standing in, she 3 days ago, I mean, think about this for just a minute. Think about the type of death that they witnessed with Jesus. Think about all the emotion that was full. It was emotionally packed a couple of days leading up to that death. Then they see him die on the cross. They see him being beat and scorned. They take him down. They bury him very quickly. There is this just rush of emotion that she's been dealing with for a few days now. And she's just anchored in that. And this word wept is the idea of a loud outcry. She's not just kind of crying, not just tears. She is weeping with all of her strength. And then she finally gets the nerve, if you will. So she's going to tell him that he's gone, but she's not even looked in the tomb yet. She just knows that the stone's rolled away. And she finally leans in. She finally leans in and she looks to see what's going on. Now, I get the impression from the story that what she sees is a little bit different than what Peter and John have seen, because it says here that she'd been over to look in the tomb, and what did she saw? And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. From Peter and John's perspective, all they saw were the cloths that were laying there. It never says that the angels were there in that moment, but they reveal themselves to Mary here in this moment. And I think it's because of the situation that she's in. And then they look at her, and what do they say? Here's our first question, and it's the question Jesus is going to ask in a minute. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, how many of you think that they could have probably come up with a better question to ask? Sounds like a very man question, right? What's wrong with you? Calm yourself down. If you're looking at her, they go, why are you so upset? Well, why are you still so grounded in your grief? And I think that this question has a great purpose, and we'll talk about it. Let's read the rest of this statement, and then we'll go to the next slide. She says, this is her response, "They have taken my Lord away." She said, "I don't know where they have put him." She's so focused on what? I've got to find who? I've got to find Jesus. I got to find his body. I got to take care of him. That's in her mind. So why do they ask this question? Because it's a call to set aside her grief and recognize the resurrection. It is a call for her to quit focusing on her grief and recognize the resurrection. As you look through the stories of Scripture and you see people that interact with angels, most of the time when someone interacts with an angel, they are scared to death. Their interaction with them is they fall to the ground out of fear, out of reverence, out of humility. They call them Lord. They understand that this is a heavenly being that they are in the presence of, and it kind of rocks them in that moment. Not Mary. Mary is so grounded in the grief that when she sees the angels, she just kind of argues with them. She's like, "Why are you crying, woman?" And she's just like, "Let me tell you why I'm crying. Because I'm trying to find Jesus and nobody will help me. Nobody will tell me where he is." And she's kind of fussing. She's kind of back and forth with them. And there's part of me that wonders at this point, has she even realized they're angels yet? We get that way. We get that way, that we get so wrapped up in the drama, in the challenge of our own life at times, that even when God puts the answer right in front of us, we're still so focused inwardly that we can't recognize what God's doing right in front of our face. And I feel like that's what the angels are doing with Mary here. They're trying to get her to let go of your grief. Let go of the dynamic that you've created in your mind of the only answer to this particular situation is they've stolen Jesus' body, and realize that what you're seeing is exactly what Jesus told you that you would see. Lift your eyes and look at Jesus. That's what they're trying to get her to do. They're trying to get her to recognize the resurrection. And then something must have startled her. Jesus comes up behind her. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. In the next few verses, she's going to think he's the gardener, the one taking care of everything on the outside. She's back and forth with the angels. She's not real impressed with the angels at the moment, right? And then she turns around, and I love this. She saw Jesus, what? Standing there, but she didn't recognize him. She did not realize that it was Jesus. Y'all, she's lost here. She's gone. She is not keyed in to the spiritual realization of anything that's happening. And listen, we get that way. We get to that point in our life where we just forget that Jesus is in control, that God has everything taken care of, and we feel like if I can't fix it my way, then it can't be fixed. And I think that that's where she is right now. And then he looks at her and he goes, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" The same question with a little more added to it. But basically, why are you crying? Why does Jesus ask this question? The angels ask it. Their purpose is to draw her attention to the resurrection. I think he wanted to draw the attention to himself. There's a lot of debate about why she didn't recognize Jesus. Some people think that it's because he had not allowed her to recognize him. There's no just straight answer here. My personal thought is that she is that emotional, that she turns around. She's in a tomb that may be a little dark. She's been weeping. Her eyes are swollen from crying. She's still crying. She's just in this emotional state. She's talking to these angels on one hand. Then she turns around and just sees the silhouette of someone else. And she doesn't realize that it's Jesus. And she's just lost in all of this. She's just lost in all of this. She just couldn't find her footing. And then what does Jesus do? This is great. Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." And she turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. It only really took one word for her to recognize who he was. And I wonder if he had a certain way that he said her name. If he had a certain way that he said her name. That there are certain people, when they say our name, we recognize their voice. I know Blair's grandmother has a certain way that she says Blair, that no one else says her name that way. No one else says Blair the way Blair's grandmother says her name. So if she heard that, no matter where she was, no matter how emotional she was, if she heard her mama say her name, she would know absolutely, this is my mama. That's who this is. And I wonder if that's what happened here. That just the way that Jesus maybe said her name, it just got her attention. And she knew, this is my friend. This is my teacher. This is my healer. Here he is, this guy that I've been looking for. You know, she had no intent. She didn't expect to see Jesus alive here. She had no idea that this is who it was going to be. But she hears her name, and that's all it took. Just her name from the lips of Jesus. But that should not surprise us, because in Mark chapter 10, Jesus says this. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, what? Listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they, what? Know his, say that, know his voice. I love this verse because I see this verse being lived out back in John chapter 20, that Jesus knows each and every one of us personally. We may not have that intimacy with him, but he knows us that intimately. He knows our name. And it says that if we're truly following him and he is our shepherd, when he says our name, it gets our attention and we follow him. And that's exactly what Mary does here. Mary hears her name and she recognizes him and she follows him. It's going to say that she runs up. Look at what it says. Jesus, so obviously she runs up and grabs him and grabs a hold of him. It's a big hug, which is what a lot of people do, right? A big embrace. And she says, Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. And I think what he's saying, I don't think he's saying don't hug me. I think he's saying don't hold on to the way things used to be. The relationship's different now. Things are going to change. Change isn't finished yet. Don't hold on to the past. Let's live in the present and the future. Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that she told them that he had said these things to her. Boy, Mary's day has just been a roller coaster, very, very quickly, very quick roller coaster. So she's already run back to the house once and been like, he's gone. She comes back and she finally sees him. And then what does he say? Go back and keep telling people about me. Go back and keep sharing this great news. Go back and tell them, I've seen Jesus. I've talked to him. I've had this conversation with him. You see, when we have intimacy with Jesus, when we have this relationship with Jesus, when we know who Jesus is to me, to you as an individual, when we have that connection, then when he does things in our life, when he answers prayers, when he brings healing, when he brings peace and grace and mercy into our life, then we're not going to be able to help but go and tell other people. And that's exactly where Mary finds herself. She finds herself experiencing Jesus and then running back to the house and telling everyone, I've seen him, I've talked to him, this is what we talked about, this is how the relationship went today. And we have to all be willing to be that Mary. We have to be Mary in our own lives. We have to be. We have to have that relationship and be willing to share it with other people. As I've been working on this week, and then Friday we sat with the Kilpatricks while Randy had his surgery. It may not surprise y'all, Randy did ask if he could bring his kidney home. That doesn't surprise me one bit. That's just who Randy is. And we're so glad that Randy's surgery went well and went great and prayers were answered in such a powerful way. But I'll never forget this image. I'll never forget this moment. Judy is sitting at the table talking to the doctor in the waiting room. And she gets up and she's just got this grin on her face. And she puts her hands up in the air and she goes, it's gone. It's all gone. And she's just ear to ear grinning. And you know what that was? That was her realizing that Jesus was Randy's healer, that he took it all. That was the moment where she realized God has answered all the prayers. And she was elated with joy. And she just came back. Just joyful until it's gone. They got it. That's all she kept saying. It's gone. They've got it. Everything went great. And to me, that has to be us. We have to be that way. When Jesus answers our prayers, when God answers our prayers, when God shows us mercy, when God shows us grace, then we have to turn around with that attitude of, I can't believe that God would do this for me, so let me do this for you. Let me show you who this Jesus is. Let me share God with you. Come get to know His Holy Spirit. But you don't do that unless you have those intimate moments with Jesus first. We've all been in moments where we could have them, but do we allow ourselves to have them? Who is Jesus to you? That's really the big question this morning, because your answer to that question then decides whether or not you're really going to share Jesus with other people. Mary was no stranger to sorrow. Not at all. She struggled in life. She had seen her fair share of problems, trials, tribulations. But on this day, at the very beginning of the day, as light began to break into the darkness of the morning, Mary found herself drawn to Jesus' tomb, her heart heavy with grief. She couldn't hold back any of her tears. And as she approaches the tomb, she's challenged with this question, "Why are you crying?" Followed with the familiar sound of Jesus saying her name. In that moment, Mary went from despair to joy, from darkness to light, and found a clarity that changed her message forever. I wonder in our own lives how often we find ourselves lost in the depths of our own challenges. Just think about that question for a moment. How often do we allow our own struggles to be the only focal point in every step of the day? How often do we fail to see the light that shines right in front of us, showing us a new life and a new hope? This morning, our challenge is to be just like Mary, to lift up our eyes and see Jesus. Because only when we lift up our eyes and see Jesus do we find true comfort, true healing, true purpose, and true forgiveness. And when we encounter Jesus, we will truly see Him for who He is, and our hearts will not be able to help but be overflowed with joy and gladness. Let's pray a prayer of thanks for that Jesus right now. God, we thank You so much for being our healer this morning. We thank You for being our teacher. We thank You for being our Savior. We thank You for being our resurrected Lord. And we thank You for all the times that we've come to You broken, and our life shattered to 1,000 pieces, and you've knelt down with us, and You've helped us put it all back together. God, I know that as we sit in this room this morning, that there are some that are sitting there in their shattered life moment, and they're overwhelmed, and they don't know the answer. That maybe on the inside, they're grieving, they're mourning. God, bring peace to their life. Help them to hear Your voice as You say their name. Let them know this morning that this passage is Your way of saying their name this morning and trying to get their attention and letting them know that You're here to just look at You, to grab Your hand and walk side by side with You and allow You to bring that healing and peace and mercy and grace into that challenge. God, thank You for giving us a family that when times do get rough, when times are challenging, that we can lean on one another. Help us to be the best brothers and sisters that we can be. We're not always going to be perfect in that way, but help us when we see a brother stumble, to struggle, that we reach out, we offer our hand, we offer our hugs. Please let us just be Your hands and feet every opportunity we have. Thank You for Jesus' sacrifice. Thank You for His death, His burial, His resurrection. Because without those things, our hope is empty. And there is no chance of eternity with You. But today we do have that hope, God, and we're so grateful for that in such an amazing way. Thank You for all of our blessings. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed.
Thank you again for joining us. And please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or our podcast. We can be found on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast provider. Also, leave us a 5-star review, which will greatly assist in getting the message of God's love and salvation to others. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram,
join the mighty chorus, which
and Twitter.
The morning stars began. For the love.
Be sure to join us again. And until then, remember to love like Jesus.
Man to man, ever sing.